Now, as gunshots echo across the windswept, snow-covered reaches of the wild Northwest, Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice, the breakfast cereal shot from guns, present Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. It's Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the Northwest, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
On King! On, you Huskies!
Gold! Gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike in the wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush. With Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice bringing you the adventures of Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog, Yukon King, as they meet the challenge of the Yukon.
There's no one that can make a better cereal than Quaker Puffed Wheat. It's neat. And when you hear that shooting, you're durn tootin'. The Quaker makes the ones shot from guns.
Not only that, Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice are the ones that give you added food values of restored natural grain amounts of vitamin B1, niacin, and iron. And delicious, just taste them. They're full of bang-up nut-like flavor. For a nutritious treat that can't be beat, eat Quaker Puffed Rice and Quaker Puffed Wheat. During the long winter Sergeant Preston had spent in the far north, White Pass had been transformed into a well-equipped and well-manned customs post. On his return in the spring, the sergeant reported to the new headquarters building and waited to see the inspector in the outer office, where he had a good view of the long line of prospectors filing up the trail from Skagway. One of the men, red-bearded and weighing at least 200 pounds, attracted his attention, and he turned to a printed list posted on the bulletin board. Just then, the inspector entered the outer office.
Oh, Sergeant, welcome to White Pass.
Good to see you, sir.
And good to have you back. Hello, King.
Inspector, would you take a look out the window?
What?
Notice the big man with the red beard waiting to be questioned by the constable on duty? The one with the scar?
He'll never get into the territory.
Recognize him?
He's been turned down twice. His description is posted there on the bulletin board.
Sir, I've just been reading it.
A thoroughly undesirable character, one of Bart Major's cutthroats in Skagway. His name suits him, Red Carver.
The constable on duty seems to be ready to pass him through.
I'll attend to that.
The inspector hurried from headquarters to the customs post, where Red Carver was shouldering his pack.
Just a moment, Carver.
Huh? My name's Halloran.
That may be the way your papers read, but your name is Carver. You'll not have to pay customs duty on those supplies.
Oh, yeah? Meaning what?
Meaning that you're not entering the territory.
Hey, now, just a
there
minute.
There are too many men waiting to waste any time on you or any other member of Bart Major's gang. Back to Skagway, Carver.
Why, of all...
On your way.
Hey, look.
Constable Downey.
Yes, sir.
Take over here.
Yes, sir.
Harold, follow me.
Oh, yes, sir.
Come on, get the light. Come on, I can't wait all day.
This is Sergeant Preston, Constable. Just back from a winter in the Klondike.
Hello, Sergeant.
Hello.
Constable Harold has been with us just a few weeks. Constable, you very nearly made a serious mistake.
Well, sir,
read this, where I'm pointing.
Red Carver, age 35, weight 200, height 6 feet, red hair, blue eyes, deep scar on left cheek.
You were supposed to have memorized every description on this list.
Oh, I did, sir.
The reason for that was to make it possible for you to recognize and stop any of the men who tried to enter the territory while you were on duty.
I understand, sir.
Have you any explanation for not stopping Carver?
None, sir. Except that I've examined the papers of a great many men this afternoon, and I wasn't paying much attention to their faces anymore.
Well, there's been no harm done. Carver's been turned back, but in the future...
It'll never happen again, sir.
I must impress on you how important it is to keep these men out of the territory.
I realize that, Inspector.
Then in the future, be more alert.
I shall, sir.
That'll be all.
Yes, sir.
That was Sergeant Preston's first meeting with Constable Harold. He saw him at supper, but had no opportunity to talk with him until later that evening in the barracks. Harold was patching a small hole in the coat of his dress uniform when the sergeant stopped beside his bed.
Evening, Constable.
Oh, hello, Sergeant.
What happened to your tunic?
Oh, nothing. I just ripped it.
Looks like a bullet hole.
Oh, no, Sergeant. Just a tear.
Too bad that old Sam isn't here.
Sam?
In the supply room at training headquarters. He was a wonder with a needle.
Oh, yes. Good old Sam. Yes, I could certainly use his help. But this will have to do, I'm afraid.
Well, it doesn't look too bad. I think I'll take a walk before I turn in. See you in the morning, Constable.
Good night, Sergeant.
The sergeant's walk took him straight to the inspector's cabin. They talked for some time of the Northwest Mounted's activities in the Klondike. And then the sergeant turned the conversation to Constable Harold.
I've just been talking with your latest recruit, Inspector.
Oh, he has a great deal to learn.
I'm wondering if he was wearing his dress tunic when he reported for duty.
Odd that you should ask that, Sergeant.
Why, sir?
Because he wasn't. It was his first breach of regulations. I called it to his attention, but he explained that he'd torn the coat on bolt.
I saw the tear this evening. Looked like a bullet hole to me.
What?
Not only that, but the material around the hole was discolored a little.
Bullet hole?
In the chest, directly over the heart.
Well, obviously the hole couldn't have been caused by a bullet or...
Or Constable Harold wouldn't be alive.
Exactly.
But is he alive, Inspector?
What are you suggesting, Sergeant?
That the man who calls himself Constable Harold may be an imposter.
Indeed.
A few minutes ago, sir, I said to him, too bad that old Sam from the supply room at the training barracks isn't around to repair your tunic. He said, yes, good old Sam.
Sam? John Wilkes has been in charge of the supply room for as long as I remember. He's the only one at headquarters who does any tailoring.
I know that, and so do you, sir. But Constable Harold didn't seem to.
Well, this is something that must be investigated thoroughly.
May I volunteer for the assignment, Inspector?
Where would you start, Sergeant?
In Skagway, and out of uniform, if that's permissible.
It'd be the only way to get any information. I'd like all of Constable Harold's movements traced from the time he walked down the gangplank of the Portland Bell on... The afternoon of the 14th until he reports here on the morning of the 15th. The assignment's yours, Sergeant.
I'll leave for Skagway before dawn tomorrow, sir.
An excellent idea. Before dawn tomorrow. So that no one will see you leave.
And so it happened that Sergeant Preston wore the rough trail clothes of a dog puncher when he reached Skagway the following day. He checked in at one of the boomtown's many hotels. Then he and King started on a tour of the waterfront cafes. The one closest to the pier where the Portland Bell had docked 2 weeks before was his first port of call. And the first person he talked to was a Cockney sailor who was attracted by King's appearance.
Now, there's a fine-looking sled dog. What do you call him, mate?
King.
Aye, he is a king, too. Are you from the inside, mate?
Just down from Dawson.
Are you now? Well, that's where I'm heading myself.
Oh, I'd have taken you for a sailor rather than a prospector.
You'd have been right until a few days ago. But the gold fever gets in your blood up here. I jumped my ship, I did.
Could it have been the Portland Bell?
It could, and it was. Not a bad berth, Captain Hawkins commanded. Still, I've had enough of the sea. It's time I made a stake and settled down.
Did you bring in many passengers?
About 300.
That's all. What if you happen to run into a friend of mine on board?
Now, who would that be?
His name is Harold.
Constable Harold, you mean? The young Mountie. Why, I knew him well. Listened to him talk for hours about the school he's been to.
And you were interested?
Fascinated. And there was another young fella. One of the passengers. His name was Duke Halloran. When I wasn't asking the constable questions, he was. Between the two of us, he found out all there was to know about the Northwest Mounted Police.
Oh? Tell me, did you see the constable at all after the ship had docked?
Well, I helped him unload his gear that afternoon and piled it on the dock. He was going to sleep with it that night and get some Indians to cart it up to White Pass first thing in the morning. He must have made an early start. He was gone when I hit the deck. Too bad.
Too bad.
I thought to myself at the time, too bad the constable didn't stick around. Even if he doesn't have any authority in Skagway, he'd have made some sort of investigation.
Investigation of what?
There was a shooting that night. A murder. It happened down at the end of the docks.
Who was killed?
One of the passengers on our ship. He'd been showing a lot of money on board. I suppose he made the mistake of doing the same thing in Skagway. Maybe you don't know it, but there's no law in this town. Things may be different when the Northern Star gets in tomorrow or the next day. They say there's a company of Marines on board her.
Huh?
Yeah, but I'm talking about no. No law at all.
You said the constable was sleeping on the dock.
He was, to make sure nobody pinched his gear.
Well, wouldn't he have heard the shots?
It wouldn't surprise me.
Surprise me if someone stopped that moth of yours for good, Smitty.
Oh, it's Mr. Carver. I beg your pardon, Mr. Carver. Did I happen to mention your name?
Well, you hadn't better. As for you, mister...
Talking to me?
I'd advise you to mind your own business. And get that mangy dog out of here.
As Red Carver kicked King, the sergeant sprang to his feet and swung hard.
No.
His fist connected solidly with Red's jaw. Red staggered back against the bar. And then, with a roar...
I'll fix you.
He charged the sergeant, and the fight was on. We'll continue our adventure in just a moment. Say, if you fellas and girls ever got lost in the bleak, blizzardy Yukon wilderness and ran out of food, you'd be mighty glad if you suddenly came upon a trapper's food cache. Whoa, whoa, you huskies, whoa there. Say, there's a trapper's food cache. Boy, wouldn't it be wonderful if he had a supply of the cereal shot from guns?
Drop them guns. I got you covered.
Oh, thank goodness you're here to help us out.
Don't fool me. Drop them guns, you thieving critters. Oh,
we're travelers. We've lost our way and run out of food.
But them guns...
Why, I was just wishing you could give us some heaping bowls of the breakfast cereal shot from guns. Quaker puffed wheat or Quaker puffed rice.
Breakfast cereal?
Yep, the swellest ready-to-serve breakfast cereals you ever tasted.
But they're actually shot from guns?
Yes, sir. The choice sun-ripened premium grains of rice or wheat are loaded into huge guns. Then they're exploded. And out come big, giant grains up to 8 times normal size. They're magnified, crispified, and shot through and through with bang-up, nut-like flavor.
Say, I reckon I'd better stew some in my food cache during the fur trapping season.
Oh, they're mighty nourishing for breakfast, lunch, or supper. Quaker puffed wheat and Quaker puffed rice furnish added food values of restored natural grain amounts of vitamin B1, niacin, and iron.
Well, I'll sure get me some next time I go to town.
That's what you fellas and girls ought to do. Remember, too, Quaker puffed rice and Quaker puffed wheat are the ones shot from guns. Now to continue. The sergeant didn't realize that the play in which the fight was taking place was owned by Bart Major, that a number of his henchmen were in the crowd that circled the sergeant in red. But if he had known, he wouldn't have had time to give it any thought. He was too completely occupied with stopping Red's bull-like rushes. Red wasn't observing any rules and was only looking for an opportunity to kick and gouge. But the sergeant had fought rough and tumble fighters before. And his straight rights and lefts forced the burly outlaw to keep his distance. Finally, Red began to weaken, and the sergeant saw his chance. He stepped in and drove a terrific left to the solar plexus. Red's face twisted with pain, and his guard dropped. In the next instant, with all the force he could put behind it, the sergeant's right landed squarely on Red's jaw. The outlaw staggered a step or two and dropped to the floor. Then Red's friends began to close in. Warned of the danger by King, the sergeant backed against the wall. Then a voice rang out from the end of the cafe.
All right, that's enough.
Bart Major was standing in the door of his office. At his command, the place became silent.
There's been enough furniture broken in here. You handled yourself well, stranger.
Think so?
Yeah. You're the first man in Skagway to give Red Carver a beating. I might be able to use you.
How?
I'm not sure. Why don't you drop around tonight and we'll talk it over?
Any particular time?
Then you're interested, huh?
I may be. I hear you rule the roost here in town.
You recognize me. What's your name?
Jackson will do.
Jackson it is. Make it about 10 o'clock, eh?
10 o'clock it is.
Until then.
Come on, boy.
Oh! Go, Red.
Fog rolled in from the sea that night. When the Northern Star steamed into the harbor, she dropped anchor offshore. The sergeant watched the progress from the dock in front of Bart Major's cafe.
Waiting for clearer weather to tie up, King. Skagway can certainly use that company of Marines she's carrying. Well, come on, boy. Time to keep our appointment with Major.
The sergeant crossed the street to the cafe. The place was filled to capacity, and as he threaded his way through the crowd to Major's office, someone pulled at his arm.
Jackson.
Oh, hello, Smitty.
Sit down here a minute.
All right.
I found out something this afternoon. On the night the Portland Bell docked 2 weeks ago, there were two murders, not one.
The passenger with all the money, and who else?
Granger, the bloke with the money, and your friend, Constable Harold.
Smitty, do you have any proof of that?
Only his body, that's all. Stripped of his clothing it was, and washed ashore on the beach at Dyea. The men who found it are holding off the burial until the Marines arrive.
But, Smitty, a body that's been in the water 2 weeks, how could anyone identify it?
There was a chain around the wrist with the man's name on it. Constable Harold, Northwest Mounted Police.
Oh.
Now, mate, you gonna join hands with the man who murdered your friend?
There's absolutely nothing to connect Bart Major with the killing.
You have my word.
That isn't enough. Excuse me, Smitty.
Where are you going?
To keep my appointment with Major.
After what I've told you?
To play his game, Smitty, until I can start playing my own.
Ah, now I get it. Well, it's a mighty dangerous game, if you ask me. But the best of luck to you, Jackson.
Thanks, Smitty. Come on, King.
Hey, who's here?
Jackson.
Still got that dog with you?
He'll not make any trouble if you don't.
Never mind the dog, Red. Come in, Jackson.
As the bolt clicked behind him, the sergeant noticed another door on the far side of the room, a door that led to the outside. He pulled a chair from the wall and sat down.
Well, Major, I'm here.
Red doesn't think you should be trusted, Jackson.
Huh? Why not?
He heard you and Smitty talking about a shooting this afternoon.
He heard Smitty talking. Smitty likes to talk. I don't have the same feeling.
I'm glad to hear it. You were a sourdough, aren't you?
I spent last winter in the Klondike, yes.
And you know the trail from here to Dawson?
As well as anyone, I suppose.
Good, I can use you. I'm leaving Skagway in a few days.
For Dawson?
Yeah.
Will you be able to cross the border?
I believe so, after I've changed my appearance a little. Yes, who's there?
It's Duke.
Duke, what's he doing here?
Let him in.
A man wearing the uniform of the Northwest Mounted Police stormed through the door, his gun drawn. It was Duke Halloran, the same man who had been accepted as Constable Harold at White Pass.
So this is where you came. The bartender's description, I thought it must be you, Sergeant.
Sergeant!
Meet Sergeant Preston, Bart. I made a slip last night about the name of the tailor at Northwest Mounted Headquarters, and the sergeant caught me in it.
How'd you find out you'd made a slip, Duke?
I checked with Downey. I said, that old fella in the supply room at headquarters, you know. And he said, John Wilkes? And I said, yeah. Too bad we don't have someone as handy with a needle up here. And I knew you'd trick me last night. Then I found out you'd disappeared from the post. But I couldn't find out where you'd gone until I talked with a cook. He'd seen you heading down the trail of Skagway, wearing a checked shirt, corduroy trousers, and boots. Well, that was enough for me, Bart. I knew the whole deal was queer and I'd have to clear out. I slipped away as soon as it was dark and I came straight here to warn you.
So this is the much-touted Sergeant Preston.
And Duke is the Duke Halloran who made friends with Constable Harold on board the Portland Bell. And who thought he'd learned enough about the Northwest Mounted Police to take the constable's place.
Well, it might have worked. Duke might have been able to get me into the Yukon if you hadn't been so smart.
The sergeant rose from his chair. As he did so, he touched King's head, and the great dog sensed the command in his master's fingertips. He moved slowly along the wall toward Duke, who still had his revolver leveled at the sergeant.
I wonder if Duke realizes that by appearing at the post in a dead man's clothes, he's tied himself in with the constable's murder.
I didn't have anything to do with that.
Get up. The sergeant can't even prove the constable's dead, let alone that he was murdered. Where's the corpse, Sergeant?
The sea has been known to give up its dead.
Hey, Bart, someone must have seen us.
You killed Granger for his money. When Constable Harold found you robbing him, you killed him, too. And you had the brilliant idea of sending Duke to White Pass in his place.
Even if you could prove that, Sergeant, you couldn't do anything about it. You have no authority here. That's why I haven't ordered Duke to put a bullet through you.
What are we going to do with him? We can't just let him walk out of here.
No.
There are better places for an execution.
Get him, King!
At the sergeant's command, King leaped at Duke, and as the dog's jaws closed on the gunman's wrist, his gun clattered to the floor. In the same instant, the sergeant knocked a lamp from Bart's desk, plunging the room into darkness. Then he threw open the outside door, and with King at his heels, ran into the foggy night. By the time he reached the front of the cafe, Bart, Red, and Duke were after him, and their shouts brought more of Bart's men out of the cafe. The sergeant ran straight across the street and out on the pier, shedding his outer clothes as he ran. Luck was against him, for a strong gust of wind blew away the fog just as he was about to dive into the water. Bart and his men saw him. The sergeant hit the water with King at his side, and they started swimming toward the dim blur of lights that marked the ship at anchor in the harbor. Once more, the fog closed over them, and the sergeant felt they had made good their escape when he heard the creak of oarlocks and the splash of oars behind them. The sergeant stopped swimming and treaded water.
They can't see us, but they can hear us, King. Back to shore, boy. Back.
The sergeant took a surface dive and began to swim underwater. For a moment, King hesitated, and then he understood what was expected of him. He was supposed to lead the men in the boat away from the sergeant. He barked and began swimming back to shore on a long diagonal. The sergeant swam underwater until his lungs were bursting. Then he shot to the surface. Treading water, he listened. He heard King's bark and then the voices of Bart's men much closer to shore.
They're following King. I'm not worried, boy. They'll never catch you on a night like this.
The sergeant struck out for the ship once more. Meanwhile, King, on his way into shore, changed his direction whenever the boat drew close to him, then announced his new course by barking when he had widened the gap between himself and the outlaw. But they were close behind him when he finally scrambled up a stony beach and raced away toward the center of town.
Preston will try to make it a White Pass now.
We may go to his hotel first to get some dry clothes. You and I'll go there, Red.
Sure.
Duke, pick up some men at the cafe and put a guard on the trail of White Pass.
Right.
All right, come on, Red.
Right.
An hour later, there were only a few men in Bart's cafe when the sergeant strolled in with King at his side. The sergeant was wearing a blue shirt and dungarees, and he dropped into a chair beside Smitty.
Why have you come back here, Sergeant?
So you've found out who I am, Smitty.
The whole town knows it by now.
No?
You were lucky to get away once. Do you think you can do it again?
Oh, I don't see any sign of Bart or Red or Duke Halloran.
They're out looking for you. And there goes the bartender out the door. You tell them you're here.
I hope so.
Hope so. They mean to kill you.
Oh, I doubt if they'll commit murder before this many witnesses.
They'll force you to leave with them and then they'll...
I'll tell you a secret, Smitty.
What's that?
The Marines have landed.
You don't say.
Ten minutes later, Bart, Red, and Duke burst into the cafe. Their guns were drawn, and they headed straight for the sergeant.
All right, on your feet, mister.
Why, I'm not going anywhere.
You're coming with us.
Well, I don't think so. There's someone in your office who has different ideas.
Captain, they're here.
The door of the office opened, and a young captain entered the cafe, followed by a squad of Marines.
May I present Captain Marshall, United States Marine.
Disarm the men.
No, wait a minute, Captain.
Wait for what? Authority of the President, I'm placing Skagway under martial law. My first official act will be to arrest you and Carver and Halloran for the murder of John Granger and Constable Harold. We'll be placed in irons aboard the Northern Star until we find a suitable building to use as a jail. Take them away, men. I'll see you in the morning, Sergeant.
Many thanks, Captain. Well, Smitty?
It's well, indeed.
As the saying goes, the Marines have landed and the situation is well in hand. I can only add that this case is closed.
Sergeant Preston will return in just a moment with a word about our next exciting adventure.
Be V-A-L-U-E. Value.
Yes, it spells value for the whole family. When there's Quaker puffed wheat or Quaker puffed rice on the breakfast table, it's the economical deluxe breakfast treat for the whole family. Served with milk or cream and luscious fruit. Only choice premium flavor-rich grains are good enough for Quaker puffed rice and Quaker puffed wheat. They're the good natural grains with a toasty, sun-ripened flavor that old Mother Nature put into them. As you mothers know, some of your family like their cereal not so sweet, some like it ever so sweet. And that's the beauty of Quaker puffed rice and Quaker puffed wheat. Your family can sweeten them with sugar just the way they like them. And when it comes to food value, every bowlful gives your family extra food values of restored natural grain amounts of vitamin B1, niacin, and iron. Remember, too, Quaker makes the one shot from guns, exploded up to 8 times normal size. And when you open the big red and blue package with a sealed inner lining, notice that every plump grain is crisp as can be. So in these days when value means so much, get both Quaker puffed rice and Quaker puffed wheat for a delicious breakfast the whole family loves to eat. And now, here is Sergeant Preston.
Sergeant Preston reporting for duty, Inspector.
Sergeant, we've had word that Slim Carson and Sam Raybert have been seen going toward the town of Littleport.
Those two have been wanted for a long time. I'll go after them immediately, sir.
You'll have to move fast. If they're in Littleport, they'll probably head for the border. If they reach it, they'll escape punishment for their crimes.
I'll do my best to capture them, sir.
Sergeant Preston doesn't know that the outlaws anticipate pursuit. A carefully planned robbery is timed to kill the Mountie, leaving them free to make their escape. Be sure to hear this next exciting adventure. These radio dramas, a feature of Sergeant Preston of the Yukon Incorporated, are created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Enterprises, directed by Fred Flowerday, and edited by Fran Stryker. The part of Sergeant Preston is played by Paul Sutton. Sergeant Preston of the Yukon is brought to you every Tuesday and Thursday at this same time by Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. The breakfast cereal shot from guns.
Hello, folks. This is your friend Aunt Jemima. I know you like my extra light Aunt Jemima pancakes. But for a change of flavor, I know you'll also like my tangy buckwheat mix. Mm-hmm. Just add milk, and you'll bake the most wonderful buckwheat cakes with just the right amount of old-time buckwheat goodness. Not a speck too little or too much. And light? My buckwheat cakes are so light and digestible, children can just eat and eat. For variety, try both kinds of my mixes. My pancake mix for fluffy light Aunt Jemima pancakes, and my buckwheat mix for golden Aunt Jemima buckwheats. Remember, there's nothing more tempting in this whole wide world than Aunt Jemima's buckwheat light. And say, why don't you try some today?
Listen, fellas and girls, have you joined the March of Dimes? Well, your dime counts. Your dime is one way to help crippled boys and girls walk the way you do. So get that dime out of your pocket. Have it ready to give today, for that's the way to join the 1952 March of Dimes. This is J. Michael wishing you goodbye, good luck, and good health from Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. So long. Listen tomorrow at the same time to The Green Hornet, brought to you by the drink that makes you feel fresh again. Delicious Orange Crush. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.